This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Korean hostilities shake up the global markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us in the United States. South Korea's central bank said today it will work with the government in Seoul to keep markets stable. That's after an exchange of artillery fire between North and South Korea that left at least two South Korean Marines dead. The BBC's Roland Burke is with us from Tokyo to talk about how this is not just a regional issue. Hi, Roland.
Hello there.
What is the immediate global financial fallout from these hostilities?
Well, the markets that were open fell. The Hong Kong Hang Seng was down by 2.7%. Singapore's index lost 1.6%. It was actually quite well-timed, perhaps, for the markets in South Korea and Japan. South Korea's market was closed, and in Japan it's a public holiday. But I think we can expect to see reaction in Japan when the markets open here, because Japan is very well aware, after a rocket was fired over the country's main island by North Korea last year, that its cities, too, are within range of the long-range munitions of North Korea.
Why are investors the initial reactors here?
Well, I think it's because they've got the most to lose. They realize that even though they can take the run-of-the-mill provocations of North Korea in their stride, a big event like this could be a game-changer. And when you look at the costs of potential outcomes of a really serious incident on the Korean Peninsula, they're huge. If you had a war, which everyone does think is probably very unlikely, you could see South Korean cities shelled. You could even see Japanese cities shelled. Or let's say that the Koreas reunite. That would have huge economic implications too. The costs of that have been estimated at $1 trillion. So it's little wonder that when something like this happens, investors run for cover.
So even between war or peace, we're talking about a lot of money.
Yes, vast sums of money in some of the biggest economies in this part of Asia. Japan, of course, the second or third, depending on whether China actually has overtaken at this precise moment in the world. And South Korea, a rising economy, both potentially under threat from North Korea, whatever happens.
The BBC's Roland Burke in Tokyo. Roland, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. As Roland mentioned, Asian markets were mostly lower today as that drama unfolds on the Korean Peninsula. On Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ added 0.5%. The Dow lost a little ground, falling 24 points to close at 11,178. We're going to get the government's release of its revised GDP figure later today. Analysts say it should be higher than the 2% initial estimate that came out last month. European shares are mostly lower at the moment, more concerned whether Irish debt problems will spread across the continent. Investors are voicing doubts about the massive bailout there in Ireland. A lot of the skepticism is also about politics. And as Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports, some of the problems stem from the fact that those rescue plans are fuzzy and flexible from the get-go.
Investors were already fretting over the lack of detail about the Irish rescue package. We still don't know exactly how much Ireland will borrow from its European partners and how much from the IMF. We don't know whether there are any strings attached. And now there's an added and perhaps fatal uncertainty. The government in Dublin is falling apart and could face an election soon. Howard Wealdon is an analyst with BGC Partners.
Markets are quite obviously are perceiving that whatever deal is agreed with the current government and the IMF and European Stability Fund, that it may never see the light of day.
And piling more pressure on the beleaguered euro, there are fresh doubts about the Greek bailout. EU and IMF officials are in Athens today to assess whether Greece should get another slice of funding. The country's just admitted that its public debt is much worse than had been revealed. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota. Toyota is sharing technology and ideas for a better world. Learn more at toyota.com/ideas for good. By The Economist, covering worldwide news and ideas and the connections between them. On newsstands, The Economist Online, and now on iPhone and iPad. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
A voluntary market for buying and selling greenhouse gas credits will shut down at the end of the year. The Chicago Climate Exchange started trading carbon emissions back in 2003. The program intended to play a major role in a national strategy to reduce global warming pollution. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
450 companies participated in the Chicago Climate Exchange's carbon trading program. Corporate giants like Ford and American Electric Power agreed to a limit on carbon emissions. Those that polluted less could then sell their emissions credits. The companies expected that Congress would soon make such a system mandatory. But it didn't, and it won't anytime soon, especially since Republicans now rule the U.S. House. Conservatives like Nick Loris at the Heritage Foundation say cap and trade is deader than dead.
A lot of people are saying this is another nail in the coffin. I think it's even further along than that. I think, you know, the coffin's already buried and people are shoveling the dirt on top of it right now.
This is really a sad day where a market approach to solving an environmental problem looks like it's falling by the wayside.
That's Yale's Dan Esty. He says it's ironic that conservatives are cheering the demise of a market-based solution to global warming. But analyst Emily Mazzucarati at Point Carbon thinks it's too early to write the obituary.
Because you have carbon markets at the regional level.
Mazzucarati notes that Californians recently voted to continue with plans for an emissions trading program in the state. And don't forget, 10 northeastern states have been doing it under a regional program since 2008. A recent study, though, criticized the northeastern program for setting its emissions targets too low. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, what to get for the person who has everything? iMac, iPad, MacBook, and Apple TV. Well, how about a Steve Jobs action figure? It features the Apple CEO with his trademark black mock turtleneck, blue jeans, and sneakers. Unfortunately, the company marketing the doll, MIC Gadgets, has completely sold out. They sell for about $80. When they do sell more, and you know they will, maybe they'll include a Kung Fu grip for iPhone. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Grab the podcast while you're there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Online shopping is par for the course these days, but do you really want to buy stuff like bathing suits and jeans without trying them on?
The vintage indigo probably is the middle of the road.
Okay.
And, you know, the rinsed is really dark.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Retailers are using video chat to make online clothes shopping a little more user-friendly. That story's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.